And we are back. Michigander FC podcast number 6. We are back and better than ever. We're ready to roll. As always, my name is Brendan Enders, and I am your host, and I'm joined, as I always am, by my co-host, David Cook. Dave, what's going on today?
You know what's going on?
What's going on?
What did I tell you about that Atletico and how they weren't going to win all the games that they're supposed to?
Yeah. Well,
and here it is. They go in and play against a Valencia team that I think they should beat, and they don't beat them.
They should have beaten them. Yes, that is true. My argument at first, and you kind of just recently made me aware of the result of this game. To be honest, I'm not adamantly following La Liga at the time. At this current time, but my argument was going to be, well, it's the beginning of the season, you know, it's not a full strength squad, they're still gelling together. And I went and checked, I'm like, well, nope, it's completely
full strength at that game.
Valencia is a good side. You had mentioned they did finish fourth last season.
They did.
So, you know, we'll chalk it up to that for now. Not a great result for them to start the season.
No,
but
especially when, you know, Barcelona is not going to drop a lot of points this year. You gotta have all
we'll
the
see.
Points you can
we'll
get.
See. They haven't we'll played see. Yet. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I think also, and this isn't an excuse, but I think Atletico is looking strongly at the Champions League at the moment. So.
Looking forward to that draw coming up Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe
dude.
It's Thursday.
I think it is.
Yeah. Not this Thursday. It's the next Thursday because they got to do those qualification playoffs
this week.
And then next week. And then we got Thursday. So not trying to jump on the gun too early on that.
Yeah. No, that will be fascinating to see what happens. But Dave, let's start with some EPL. We want to go through basically what happened this week, and then we got a couple little fun things we want to do at the end. We both have team of the weeks that we've prepared, based on some of our thoughts from this weekend. And we also have a game that we're going to play at the end of the podcast. But first, Dave, let's just jump in order. I think this is a pretty interesting weekend.
Some interesting results.
So. Let's start at the very beginning, which is a very good place to start.
better than starting at the end.
We'll go with Cardiff versus Newcastle. Every bit the barn burner that we thought that was maybe going to be.
Big relegation
A nil-nil draw. Nil-nil draw between the two of them. What were your takeaways from this one, Dave? What was interesting to you?
Obviously the big interesting thing was Kennedy, who, you know, clearly kicks his opponents. The referee's not looking at all at it. Kicks his opponents. Just completely gets away with it, and if you're a Cardiff fan, you're probably thinking, wow, they just missed a clear red card opportunity. Obviously, you got that red card in the second half, which kind of made up for it, but you'd rather Kennedy be off the field. And then here, Kennedy at the 90-whatever minute it was in the
stoppage time, 95th
minute, has a chance to win it all. I mean, if that penalty kick goes in, the Cardiff fans probably just would have been absolutely pissed about that game.
Yeah, it would have been pandemonium. And the thing is, like, if you have an opportunity to have one of the opposing teams, I mean, by far their most, you know, frightening attacker sent off, their biggest goal threat pretty much sent off the field, you definitely want that to happen. And that's not what happened. I thought I was watching the replay of this. I didn't watch the full game, but the thing that made me laugh is Kennedy tried a little bit of skill in the middle of the park there, did a couple spins, was trying to be a little flashy, loses the ball, and then immediately just hauls off. And it wasn't even just a trip. He wasn't on the ground. It wasn't anything like cheeky or sneaky. He just hauled off and kicked this guy.
Yeah.
And I can't believe he got away with it.
Well, when you watch the ref during the play, you can tell his eyes were following the ball. He wasn't looking. Kennedy was a little bit behind the play. So I can see how the ref missed it, and obviously the line judges might have been a little too far away to see it, but definitely a blown call there. Now, one thing we got to give credit to is Etheridge, the goalkeeper, who has now saved
two penalties
this Premier League season. One interesting thing about him, he's the first player from the Philippines in the Premier League.
I saw that, and I just learned that he was Filipino.
Yeah, I didn't know he was Filipino either.
Yeah, so super interesting. Great save for him.
Probably something we should have brought up when we talked about the newcomers.
I didn't even know. And by far, Cardiff was the team I knew the least about. I mean, they're just the least splashes coming into this season, like kind of the least fanfare around this team to begin with. So to be honest, I just didn't know. But definitely pretty cool. I think Cardiff, will be frustrated with the events that happened with Kennedy, but at the same time, I think they'll be happy to at least have picked up a point. Because to be honest, they're going to be looking for every single point they can get this season, and a 0-0 draw in general probably won't be the end of the world as far as the results they're looking for.
Now, if I'm the Philippines, my strategy this World Cup qualifying process, you know, pack it in, park the bus, everything bad, go for these 0-0 draws, and hope Etheridge just performs in PK shootouts. And guess what? You guys are going to the World Cup. Maybe win champion or win the whole thing doing that.
Oh my gosh, that's not what we want to see. But
yeah, I know,
maybe
it would be terrible games.
All right, moving on. Everton Southampton, Dave. 2-1 win for the Toffees this weekend. Richarlison looking pretty much every bit the player he did last weekend. Pretty exciting. I think Everton fans will be stoked. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll be stoked as well. I mean, they spent a lot of money on him, a lot of criticism. It'll be interesting to see what happens when he hits maybe those slumps. The key is for them is when he hits those slumps, is he still going to be playing well, doing the things off the ball, doing the things on the ball, making those key passes. Because, you know, he's not going to keep this goal-scoring record up, scoring 3 goals in 2 games. But right now, he's looking really good. I also thought Walcott looked really good.
Yeah, he definitely did.
He had the assist to Richarlison, and he had the goal on that free kick, which just a great free kick. You can tell they practiced that one a lot in training.
I love that move.
Yeah, I love.
I've always been a Leighton Baines fan too.
Really?
Yeah, I have always liked him.
I mean, I guess he's an Everton guy, which I mean, we have a lot of new soccer fans on our pod that listen to our podcast. Everton is Liverpool's in-city rival. They're another team that is located in Liverpool. But, I just thought really good free kick. I love free kicks like that where you just come up with something creative and it ends up working out perfectly.
It was a great move. Yep. As you said, Theo Walcott looking good. Southampton just, again, really struggling to come up with any ideas.
I mean, it was good that they got a goal. I liked that Danny Ings got a goal.
It was, I was glad
Liverpool
to see him.
Former Liverpool guy. He's been just battling injury for the last 2 seasons, hasn't really played much, and just to get a goal in his first game with Southampton, I thought was pretty incredible. But like you said, they right now, unless he can find some form and keep that up, they're hurting for goals. I mean, what is it? Charlie Austin's their other guy.
Yeah, Charlie Austin.
He's
who's like 30 now.
Yeah, he's really struggling, and they're just struggling to find goals in that front line. So I'm hoping Ings, because I really do like Ings, and I felt bad for him after, you know, all the injury problems he had. So I'm pulling for him. And I think Ings can find some form on that team.
Yeah, I hope he does. After that first chance he had, I got a little nervous for him that his confidence may drop and he might kind of lose control of the game mentally. But because that first chance he had, he just absolutely blasted it just off the crossbar, and I was like, oh, so close. Poor guy.
Can't buy a break.
I know, seriously. We're good there. Let's move on. Leicester versus Wolves. A 2-0 win for Leicester at home against the newcomers and Wolves. What are you taking away from this one, Dave?
Leicester is probably the luckiest team of the week after last week probably being a little bit more unlucky.
So how's that?
Just both of their goals. The one goal was an own goal. And it wasn't even like an own goal where a player is running back to his goal. He tries to clear it and it goes. And I mean, the ball was way beyond the goal and the defender heads it back into the goal. I mean, it was just one of those where the defender, all he's got to do is just maybe get out of the way or just, yeah, do something other than what he really did. He looked like a forward trying to score.
It was an exquisite finish into his own net.
And then the second one, James Maddison basically had his first EPL goal. He's looked good for Leicester. Had a shot, I believe it was outside the box, hit a Wolves defender and deflects in. And Wolves also hit the post in this game, so they were unlucky to score there. So Leicester got a little bit of luck, but in all honesty, they probably deserved a little luck after kind of the bad luck they had in the first game with the Luke Shaw shanks his first touch and scores, and were a little unlucky on the PK, even though it was a penalty. It was a harsh one for them, but
And one thing I thought was interesting is I can't wait to see this Wolves team kick on. I think they will, and I just am excited to see them have some results actually go their way.
Yeah, I mean, just a tough start to their schedule. Everton and Leicester City, two teams that I think are definitely on the higher end of the lower teams.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, they're not top six teams or anything.
No, they're not top six teams.
The thing that I thought was cool from early on, Wolves were knocking on the door. They had a couple good chances. Leicester just looked like absolutely in shambles defensively. Wolves had a couple attacks that they had. They managed to get like 3, 4, 5 attempts out of because Leicester just could not clear their channels.
Right.
I mean, they had Leicester defenders just spun around and on the floor for a couple different times in the first half. And I'm like, and when I was watching, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, they're just seconds away from scoring. It's bound to happen. And to look at this result and look back on that, you know, the beginning of the game for them, I'm like, how could it have ended this way?
But gotta take your chances.
Yeah, you do. And Leicester ends up taking all 3 points. The red card on Jamie Vardy, I wanted to bring up, Dave.
All right.
So he gets dispossessed, or sort of. Mm-hmm. Like the ball takes a bounce. He chases the ball down. He looks to play a pass, I think, out to the left to Albrighton. And I thought that was an extremely harsh red card. He goes to play the ball, and I think he does play the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember who the Wolves player is that steps in front of it, but basically just steps right into him, ends up taking, you know, a lot of the brunt of the force from that pass.
Right.
But there is nothing, you know, nefarious in that challenge.
I mean, I can't remember how much his studs were showing.
I mean, his studs were, but it was after he had played the pass. He was leaning back. It was kind of a reckless attempt to try to get the pass in. But
right.
I thought a red card was extremely harsh. He played the ball. He sent, you know, he wasn't trying to tackle a player. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was just going to pass the ball, and he had a guy step in front of him.
And I just think that overall, I'm guessing that they had just with the reckless foul through is what got him. But yeah, I can see what you're saying. But you know, referees are definitely going to call that one differently. And unfortunately for Vardy, this one called it on the harsh end.
Did not fall his way, and Leicester City fans will definitely not be thrilled with that. But anyhow, moving on, Tottenham versus Fulham. Tottenham hosting Fulham at Wembley. Spurs taking all 3 points with a 3-1 win. A handful of interesting things here for me I wanted to cover just as a Tottenham fan. There's a lot going on here to talk about. I have another Tottenham fan who's a buddy of mine. His name is actually David too, ironically, but we always text each other the lineup ahead of time and we give each other our predictions for the game. I had predicted big things for Lucas Moura. I actually predicted a brace, and I was actually pleasantly surprised with, I mean, not his open net miss towards the beginning of the game, but how actually close I think I was on coming good on that prediction. But obviously that chance towards the beginning of the game, one of the first clear-cut chances that Spurs had, Lucas Moura just putting the header wide on a pretty open net, which was disappointing. But I was impressed with Lucas Moura's performance, kind of playing as a second striker, almost playing off Harry Kane in sort of a two-striker formation. That's not necessarily how I'd prefer to see him deployed, but I'll take it for now. I like seeing him getting regular minutes. I like seeing him starting, and he looks electric. I mean, he's running all over the field. He's making plays. He's dropping deep. It looks like we have a really good player there. Something I thought was interesting as well is with that back three, Dave, that opens up Spurs to play in an entirely new way, which I absolutely love. I say an entirely new way to the back four.
Right. So do you like the back three?
That is my
preferred
position. Okay. Absolutely. That is my best variation. To me, my favorite variation of this Spurs lineup over really the past 2-3 years. The problem is with it that once you have all three of those center backs on the field, which I stand by and I will defend the fact that I think those three players are three of the very best center backs in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is there's not really any cover for them.
Right.
One of them goes out for injury. One of them, you know, let's say isn't fit for this reason or another. There's not a lot of cover there.
I'm trying to think who would they bring on. I mean, maybe you could just go to a back two and bring on like a Danny Rose or a.
Yeah, we've seen them. We've seen typically when something goes awry and we have to adjust that formation, we do go back to a four at the back.
Okay.
But I think that's primarily because we don't have the players to fill in there. Now, we've seen Eric Dyer do a job there. We've seen even Juan Foyth, and it's primarily in like like the FA Cup matches and stuff like that. We've seen Juan Foyth come in and do a job. But ultimately, we don't have a lot of cover in that position. So that's what makes me nervous. That's what makes me so disappointed that we didn't actually go out and sign another a depth player at center back this summer. However, I do think that gets the best out of our defenders. And I think it also simultaneously gets the best out of our fullbacks. Something I notice over and over when Kieran Trippier has space to get up the field and play further up the field almost as a winger. I saw him over and over again just getting left wide open, just acres of space. And I saw a bunch of times like we would switch the play to him and he'd have all the time and all the space in the world to try to make a play from the right wing. Now, obviously, I really rate Kieran Trippier highly in this game because in part because he scored the free kick, which was an excellent goal, I think. The other obvious thing of note is Harry Kane sort of breaks the August hoodoo and scores in the month of August, which has been a thing that has loomed over him his entire Premier League career. So that was good to see. I was really glad he was able to get that goal and finally just kind of shake that nonsense off.
Yeah,
that he's
now we
not
don't have to hear
scoring.
Harry Kane can't score in August. So that's good for him. I just want to bring up Fulham really quickly. Mitrovic, obviously, he was on a huge goal drought and was able to finally get his first Premier League goal. If you didn't see that goal, that one was kind of a funny one. He's just kind of on the ground.
He's on his knees.
Yeah, he's on his knees and is able to head it in. So kind of a cool goal there for him.
Little disappointed in the defending on that play.
Yeah,
I'll
the defending definitely was not great.
If a striker can score a headed goal on his knees in the 6-yard box, that's not exactly what you want to see.
Right. I mean, in all honesty, I believe it was Siri that probably should have – he had the assist on that, I believe, and he probably should have scored from where he was at. But
yes.
He just hit it back and got it to Mitrovic. Fulham, I thought, looked good in those first 15 minutes. You know, Mitrovic hit the post. I thought they came out. They were ready to play. They, had some few opportunities. But once they tied it up 1-1, you know, Spurs, that's when they really put the Jets on. And for a while, it looked like Spurs, it might just not be their day until Trippier pulled out that magic. And he is just hitting those free kicks now for fun.
Yeah,
I mean, and for
apparently
England,
he's just a free kick taker
now.
Is
this all this guy does in practice, just do the free kicks?
I don't know. Well, it's weird because we never saw him do it for Spurs until he did it for England.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he comes back and he's our free kick taker. Now, I won't lie to you. The vast majority of the time, I'd prefer to see Christian Eriksen taking those free kicks. I love Eriksen on free kicks. But obviously hard to argue with that goal is a good goal and a great performance from right back for him. So I think Sarri, a real bright spot for Fulham.
I thought he was all over the place,
tearing up the field, making passes, connecting plays, spraying balls around. I mean, he is just what a signing
for Fulham.
Their fans must just be in awe that they're able to, again, we mentioned this in our transfer podcast, but just they must just be in awe that they're able to bring in a guy of his caliber.
Exactly.
But he looks good.
I thought Fabry also looked pretty good. He looked good in the back in the nets.
He did.
And I just want to reiterate your point with Lucas Moura. I mean, it must have been really comforting to see him after missing two clear chances, seeing him actually put one in, because he's playing in there in place of Song right now, who's gone at those Asian games. So he's gonna need to, if he's not scoring goals, he's gonna need to be setting up goals, setting up Harry Kane, doing those things to keep Tottenham in it while Son's out.
Yep, exactly. And I another bright spot was Eric Lamela came on and looked very good. Got the assist for Kane, which came from a hell of a run deep in midfield, which was really exciting to see. It's good to see, you know, our sort of depth players performing well. By the way, a little sidebar. Heung-min Son scored the winning goal against the Titans, Kazakhstan, in the Asian competitions.
I gotta say, I've not been following that.
Puts them through to the knockout rounds. My friend tweeted me just like a video of the goal, and he must have had to do some digging to find that goal. It looked like there were about 15 people at that game.
Oh, wow.
It's just bizarre. What a weird thing. Anyhow, still pulling for Sonny and for South Korea in the Asian games. Get him back to Tottenham as soon as possible. You want to move on, Dave?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right, West Ham Bournemouth. at West Ham, another very disappointing result.
All for West Ham, yeah, especially because we rated them so high in the beginning of the in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And you look at Bournemouth's first goal, where it's just Colin Wilson dribbling down, and there's four defenders there. One just he toasts one defender. He toasts Balbuena, who I thought was. I thought he had a decent, or I mean, as decent as a game you can have when you lose 4-0 to Liverpool. But I thought he was he could be a bright spot for this West Ham team. And he just gets absolutely bent over backwards by Wilson. Then there was another defender, I can't remember who it was, but he gets bent over backwards by Wilson. And you got 1-on-4, and he's able to score. That can't happen, especially with how far out Wilson started. I mean, it was just
a deep run.
Yeah, it was just barely past the halfway line, and he's able to go on this run. I mean, if you're not going to win the ball, maybe get him with body and have him force him with a far free kick. But I guess that didn't really work for them either, since the second goal was on a Steve Cook set piece header, and once again, it was just extremely poor defending there. Now, in the first half, they looked better. I mean, it was nice to see the forwards get a little bit more involved. Chicharito was able to win the penalty, but...
I think it was a little soft, by the way, but
it was legit.
I thought it was soft. I think he sold it pretty well, but I think it was a little soft. But anyhow.
But West Ham, I won't panic yet. I still feel like Pellegrini's going to get it together. Have some patience. Even if they lose this weekend, they've got a tough game against Arsenal, which... Arsenal's going to be desperate for points, so I think they're going to come out. They're going to come out to play. So I feel like West Ham could, you know, be dropping their first three games here, and I feel like the fans could turn on Pellegrini. For some reason, I went on the West Ham Facebook page this weekend and saw the comments.
Why?
And I don't know. There's already people asking for Pellegrini's head. They're saying Pellegrini out. It's like, guys, we're two games in.
And who do you want?
Yeah, who do you want? Do you want to get
Sam Allardyce?
Yeah, get Big Sam back in there. When Big Sam was there, he called West Ham the worst job of his life. But
he really say that?
He really said that, or he something along those lines. I had the worst job or something like that, and that's why he left West Ham. Overall, the fans just need to have some patience. They made so many signings. Hopefully, a guy like Balbuena can do better. Anderson wasn't as great this game as what maybe I was thinking he could be during the offseason. But, I mean, these guys are new to the Premier League, and gotta give them a couple of games. And, obviously, I know it's hard in soccer because there's the relegation.
Yeah.
You want to stay out of that bottom three. But I'd say give this until late October and see if we can't see some improvements.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You mentioned Balbuena just getting absolutely roasted by Callum Wilson. And by the way, fair play to Callum Wilson. That was a great play.
Yeah, right, right.
But he had a really, I thought, pretty obvious handball in the box that didn't get called for Bournemouth. Bournemouth played a ball into the box and just smacked right into Balbuena's hand. It didn't get called. And I'm like, man, this could have been even worse, for West Ham. But another come from behind win, by the way, for Bournemouth, which they're kind of known for last season. Mm-hmm. So. A team that's not afraid to play from behind and never, I think, has a striker in Callum Wilson that doesn't have an ounce of quit in him. Good result for Bournemouth. We'll see if West Ham is able to kick on. Moving over to London, Chelsea host Arsenal. Chelsea are able to take all 3 points with a 3-2 win against the Gooners. There's a lot to laugh at in this game, Dave.
Yeah, there's a lot to laugh at. There's a lot to talk about. There's just so much here. I mean, you look at Arsenal, they literally could have been up at halftime, like 4-2 or something. They just missed, just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. you got Aubameyang just shanking shots right over the bar. And when it was 2-0, I thought it was done. I thought, okay, Chelsea's just gonna go out and smash him like 4-0 or something like that. And all of a sudden, Chelsea just lets him right back in the game. When you have all that momentum, Arsenal were looking down, so huge credit to Arsenal to get back into that thing. And then in the second half, it was just all Chelsea. I thought Chelsea had the ball. It looked like Arsenal were just playing for that point.
Yeah.
And I just think Arsenal's too weak defensively to do that. Drop something in here.
So this is unfair, and this is personal, and so I feel bad about even saying this. Maurizio Sarri is the weirdest shaped human being I've ever seen in my entire life. He is like, if he is the epitome of the dad bod. He has got the bulgiest, lumpiest torso ever. And the skinniest little toothpick arms you've ever seen. And that, whatever he was wearing, it wasn't a tracksuit. Mm-hmm. It was like a warm up almost. Yeah. Like a collarless, like quarter button Chelsea thing. Dude, yeah, that was not a good look on him. I think he should just put a suit on or something. He is just the weirdest looking guy. And I didn't even notice till this game. I'm like, whoa, he is goofy looking. The other thing I was laughing about, so basically my takeaway from this one is there's so many things I was laughing at. Unai Emery decides to stick with Guendouzi again,
yeah,
which is
that
extremely
was
interesting. And, did you see the clip of, I think it was around the 18th minute when Aubameyang missed his like second chance or third chance, I think. I think it was his second chance. Did you see the clip of Guendouzi in midfield?
I didn't.
It was hilarious. I saw this floating around after the game. I missed it during the game. So Aubameyang puts his like second chance up over the top of the net, and there's a camera angle where it shows Guendouzi, and he drops to his knees and he just starts pounding on the turf with his hands.
My gosh.
You would have thought that he literally just lost the World Cup final. Like, he was like, and just screaming and like pounding his hands.
I mean, that's gotta be like, frustrating. Both those chances, bro, he should have put in.
Yeah, but dude, it's the 18th minute and you're 19 years old, starting for Arsenal.
How do you feel if you're Aubameyang? you've won trophies with Dortmund, you've been to the top, and now you got this 19 year old kid all frustrated.
Just giving
you
a stick. Dude, I was laughing so hard. Oh my gosh.
One thing I thought was very interesting with this game is, Traore didn't start.
Again.
I thought he could have come in for Guendouzi or even Xhaka. I mean, he has not looked good.
No, Xhaka looks terrible.
He looks terrible. Yeah, he's looked terrible.
I like Guendouzi more than Xhaka right
now. Yeah, yeah.
Gives away a bad yellow card.
Yeah, and even that Arsenal defense, I thought they were all...
it was horrific, dude. It was so bad.
I mean, Socrates, this... Part of me is just thinking maybe this wasn't the right guy to sign. He's in his 30s, has played in the Bundesliga, a 30-year-old coming over to the Premier League. The pace is so much faster.
Yeah.
It's definitely tough for a 30-year-old. Maybe he'll get it together and find something. But just right now, I mean, he looks terrible.
The Socrates Mustafi combo in central defense is terrifying if you are an Arsenal fan, in a bad way.
Right,
They must be combined like the slowest, most awkward center back pairing in the league right now. I mean, they look helpless. And the weird thing is they were holding that high line. You know, Morata scored that really nice goal, but they were holding the high line. They were like at midfield basically.
Yeah.
And Morata's, you know, quote unquote offsides, even though you can't be offsides if you're
in
your own half. So he's behind the defender. He gets played through, and he has 50 yards of space to just like run into freely. And Mustafi and Socrates are nowhere near him and can't catch him. And Morata's not even fast. Morata burns him. And fair play to Morata. That was a sweet finish.
Oh, that was
great.
I mean,
it was a sweet finish.
Yeah, everything. As a Chelsea fan, everything about that just worked out perfectly. You wanted Morata to score, get some confidence up, and he just absolutely toasted Mustafi on that.
Yeah, he did.
Beat him on the run, then cuts back and is able to, I believe it goes right through Mustafi's leg on that cutback.
He
mags
him too, which is perfect.
Just everything great for Morata.
Did you see his celebration too?
Yeah, the celebration
was
great.
He like runs away. He kind of makes no facial expression, has his arms out. And then he just puts his fingers in his ears like this. And I was like, just like blocking out the haters. I was like, I absolutely love that.
Yeah. But if you're Arsenal, what do you do about your defensive situation? I mean.
Dude, I don't even know. Yeah. I don't know where you begin. Well, they really don't have any better options. Like, I don't think you can like. It's not like they've got someone sitting on the bench that is the answer.
Yeah,
so
I mean, the only
they need some more transfer windows.
They've got Lindsteiner. I mean, obviously he plays more wide, but he's another older guy that might be tough to get used to the Premier League.
I don't know. I think what you do is you start with not holding a ridiculously high line like that. I mean, you're just setting them up to fail. And it just seemed weird to put him in that situation where it's like, all it's going to take is one ball through to Morata and you're in, like, on goal. So,
now, one thing I want to ask you about this game is, do you think Arsenal should drop Ozil? I mean, he has not been that great. And maybe to get it, the way I'm maybe seeing this is you drop Ozil, you send him a message, hey, you can't be playing like this. You're our highest paid player. I believe he's their highest paid player. We just paid a bunch of money last year for you to sign a new contract. You're making all this money. You've got to perform out there. And it might be hard to do because you're now got your biggest asset on the bench, your highest paid player. It will be hard to do, and you might get some stick for it, but I feel like it's necessary.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you're Arsenal and you need a number 10, I think Mkhitaryan is twice the player that Ozil is right now.
Right, and
Mkhitaryan looked great in that game. He's the one bright spot for Arsenal.
I mean, his goal was good.
His goal was great, and then he had an assist on the other one, I think, too, didn't he?
I can check that for you, but he did have the assist, but on his first goal.
I don't know if you can drop Ozil, but you got to set it up where he just isn't being the guy that's being relied on to track back, you know, and defend. And so whatever way you can set that up to happen, I guess you could try it, but you don't really have the best defensive support behind him either. So I don't know. I couldn't even begin to try to solve Arsenal's problems right now, Dave.
Right. And another thing I was thinking, maybe Lacazette you put in there instead of Aubameyang. I mean, he blew his chances. I do like Aubameyang better, but...
I do too. I think you just give him some time. I don't think he'll start to...
Too short of leashes when I'm giving
him. What I heard Aubameyang said is he's cool with playing on the wing.
Really?
He said he loves playing with Lacazette, and he says if I play wide and he plays centrally, that's fine by me.
That's something I might do. I might put Mkhitaryan in that 10 role and then just play Aubameyang on the wing and put Lacazette up top. And I might just do that for a couple of games
because
you don't want a player like Ozil on the bench for too long. Mm-hmm. Do that for a couple of games. Get a message in his head like, you can't be playing like this. Then maybe after the international break, he's not obviously not going to be playing for Germany. Have him come back, get refreshed, and put him back in that starting lineup.
Yeah, that could be the solution, but I'm not sure. You also have Iwobi as well to fit into that system somehow. He had a goal. He looked all right.
Yeah, he looked all right.
I don't know. Whatever. I'm done talking about Arsenal. The one last thing I wanted to make fun of Arsenal about before we move on. So they score the equalizer, and Granit Xhaka runs over to the crowd and does like the calm down, like, you know, the quiet down sort of hand motion. I see Guendouzi. He turns. He looks at Granit Xhaka doing that. He's going, oh, okay. And he like runs over to Xhaka and he starts doing the same thing. He's telling the crowd to quiet down. This kid is too much, dude. This little 19-year-old.
Most entertaining player in the league.
Oh, man. That game was great for a good laugh if you guys need some chuckles. So let's move on, Dave. I'm done talking about them. So Burnley v. Watford. Burnley hosts Watford. Watford takes all 3 points. 3-1 win for Watford.
Deeney and Gray are looking good up top.
Yeah, they sure do. And below them, I love what Watford is doing right now in the midfield. And I wasn't so sure coming out because they're kind of doing that like 4-2-2-2 thing. Mm. Like two holding mids, two attacking mids, two strikers. And it's kind of narrow. But I don't know, dude. So far, it's working because
it is working.
Every single one of those midfield players looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Perea looks great. Hughes looks great. The defensive midfielders look good.
Yeah, Will Hughes. I mean, do you think he gets a England call up pretty soon?
I like him. I've always liked him. Yeah. I've always thought he's a great player. So I don't know. We'll see. Goals coming from three different players. I think it was Gray, Deeney, and Hughes.
Yep.
But just the interchange and the play between, you know, those attacking midfielders and then the two strikers, that looks dangerous. Especially, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess we'll see what happens when they come up against a real test. But they cut Burnley apart without a whole lot of problems.
Now Burnley, they're kind of a unfortunate team. They've had such a tough schedule to start out with. I believe they've already played four Europa games, just trying to qualify. So they're already playing two games a week. They've played four Europa games, like I said, and they've played now two Premier League games. One thing that I've noticed in all of their games is that they are really struggling for goals. And I don't know if it's just, you know, just too quick of a start. The players are just not quite conditioned to be going this many minutes this early. Both of their Europa qualifying series, or whatever you want to call them, both went into stoppage time, so that you've got you've got another half hour there of stoppage time you're playing. So just a lot of minutes already for this Burnley team, and they're not scoring a lot of goals.
Right.
So.
I mean, in this game they scored one, and typically for Burnley that's enough. You score one and
yeah,
you drag the game out. But normally you're not getting scored on three times.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. And a thing about their goal, it was scored by one of their defenders. So. You would like to see one of their up top players get a goal, but now they've got to look to Thursday. They've got another big game in the Europa League. I forget who it's against. Oh, it's Olympiakos.
The Greek team.
Yeah, the Greek team. So that will be a tough draw to get into the Europa. This is their last qualifying playoff stage before the group stage. So, tough start for Burnley.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on, Dave, to one of my all-time favorite games of this
weekend. Oh, my gosh, yes.
This was nothing short than an absolute thrill to watch. What an absolute clinic Man City put on this weekend.
Oh, you're talking about the Man? I thought you were – okay, yeah, okay. When you were talking about this was an absolute thrill to watch, I thought you were talking about the other Manchester team.
We will get to that, and I can't wait to talk about that too.
All right, no, this wasn't a thrill for me to watch. This one made me a little
– it's so entertaining, Dave.
Yeah, it was I mean, if you're a Man City fan, it's entertaining. I don't think it's entertaining if you're trying to hang with them. But –
yeah, probably not. So, I mean – I think what this game is, if we're honest, this is pretty much a championship team that's trying to play one of the very best teams in the world right now. A very similar matchup to me would be like Aston Villa Barcelona. From the get-go, this game isn't even fair. And then that's not even mentioning there's no Kevin De Bruyne. They're trotting out a formation that they didn't play last week. They're playing three at the back with two. You know, one fullback and one more just winger on the other side. Mm-hmm. And to me, Dave, what it seemed like was happening was this, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong. It seemed like Pep Guardiola literally thought this is an absolute, like, in the bank 3 points. I'm just going to experiment, and I'm going to try some stuff, and I'm going to try a three at the back, and I'm going to try, you know, was it Bernardo Silva that played on the right as like the other winger? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on the left, it was Benjamin Mendy. On the right, it's Bernardo Silva. Can't imagine that's the situation you'd want if you're going in against tough competition. But they're trying the two striker thing. They're trying the three at the back. They're trying the fullbacks high up the pitch sort of thing. Obviously, no Kevin De Bruyne. I think he's just literally just getting up to speed. Hey, let's give this a shot. We'll for sure smash Huddersfield into the ground, and that's exactly what they did, which is remarkable.
I can't tell you whether or not if he's experimenting or not, but I mean, if he is, it worked really well. And I'm trying not to get too panicked or too worked up about this game. We saw with other teams last year in the EPL winning 4-5-0 against teams. I believe Spurs had a couple of lopsided victories. I know Liverpool beat Swansea last year 5-0. They beat some other teams 4-0. It was Watford. They beat 4-0. So I'm trying not to hand Man City the trophy already. I mean, it was Huddersfield. Huddersfield are a weak team. The one thing that is kind of scary is that this was a draw last year for Man City. So they're already 2 points ahead of where
was
they were
1-1?
Last year. I believe that's right. It was 1-1.
Oh, my goodness.
I
forgot about that.
They put up 100 points in the league last year, and they're now already ahead of that. And another interesting thing about Man City is it's not till early October is when they play their first Big Six team. So,
oh really?
Yeah, and it's against Liverpool. So these 2 months that De Bruyne is out, it might not even impact them because they're playing all these lower teams in the league. If his injury only lasts 2 months, they could be fine. The only big game is that Liverpool game, and by the time we get to that Liverpool game,
they might have him back.
What's that?
Will they have him back?
They will not have him back.
They won't have him
most
back
likely
that.
Not. I mean, that's what they're saying. I mean, he could come back early, late, but. Yeah, they could just build themselves a big lead by the time they get to that point. So,
yikes.
It is a little scary, but I mean, now if De Bruyne's out for 4 months, they said 2 to 4 months. If he's out for 4 months, obviously that changes the equation a little bit. That will definitely affect them a little bit more. But this City team's still going to be good, and really teams like Liverpool, teams like Spurs, Just have to keep winning games. That's the only way about it. I mean, you cannot drop points. You just cannot.
Right, exactly. The other interesting thing that's worth noting is Ederson getting an assist. I thought that was pretty
sweet.
Yeah,
that was funny.
It was a heck of a long ball through to Aguero. Dave, let's move across Manchester.
Yeah, this is the game I want to talk about. This game was a lot of fun to watch.
This was a hilarious game. There's very few teams in the world I like watching lose more than Manchester United. So let's dive into this, Dave.
Huge apologies if you're a Manchester United fan, by the way.
Some apologies if you're a Manchester United fan. Brighton obviously taking all 3 points, 3-2 win against Manchester United. Glenn Murray still scoring goals, looking great at the ripe age of 34.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about this guy for the last few years. It's like, wow, he's still scoring, like,
yeah,
a lot,
yeah,
like a good amount. And so, yeah, like, he's obviously a bright spot for Brighton, no pun intended. that just came out of my mouth. I didn't even mean to say that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Man, you just looked so bad.
They did.
And I think what I feel like what happened is they did their typical thing. They didn't show a whole lot of impetus going forward. They didn't show a whole lot of aggression going forward. They didn't look like they wanted to obviously get forward, score goals, and press and be aggressive and do all those sorts of things. And, you know, Brighton was cool with that. They said, mm-hmm, okay, we'll take the game to you then. And it ended up going pretty well for Brighton, obviously. Dave, anything, what are you taking away from
this?
Yeah,
I mean, like you said, Manchester United, they go out with this attacking lineup in the second half, knowing that they're two goals down, and they really didn't create that many chances. I mean, they had possession, but they had a decent amount of possession to start out with. But really, the only chance in that second half was really that Pogba shot from outside the box. And then even after that, I felt like the game was played after that chance, which was about the 76th or 77th minute. After that chance, the game was mostly played in the Brighton in the Manchester United half with Brighton with the ball. I mean, it was just incredible that you're really pushing for that second goal, and they just couldn't get a hold of the ball. And for me, if I'm a Manchester United fan, I'm pretty pissed. I mean, the team does not look good at all. The defending looks terrible. Bailly, on that, I can't remember which goal it was on the one where he draws the penalty. I mean, he just gets sucked into the wing and then has to track all the way back. There's just so much space there in the middle. Just terrible defending. And then on the other goal, your defender gets beat right away. I believe it was Lindelof who just got beat on that run and was not on the right side of I believe that was Glenn Murray's goal, and just terrible defending. And so maybe Jose's got a case on we need more defensive reinforcements. But at the same time, Jose, you bought both of these players.
Yeah.
Like, what were you doing in these past transfer windows?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I do want to give credit where credit's due. Brighton did look pretty good. Anthony Knockaert looked great. I think he's been a really good player for them this season and last season. And Pascal Gross looked good, too.
They looked good, but at the same time, they looked so disorganized last week. And you thought, okay, Manchester United should be licking their chops and
probably
just couldn't do it.
Probably. More complaining, certainly, to come from Jose. As you do, late in the game, need a goal, you're Manchester United, bring on Fellaini.
Yeah, and that's another frustrating thing. That if I was a Manchester United fan, that would be another frustrating thing, is that your strategy is just to kick a long ball
to
Fellaini.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, if I'm the higher-ups at Manchester United, I'm looking for a Jose replacement right now. I wouldn't fire him yet. I'd be looking for a replacement.
Yep.
I got two guys in mind.
Don't do this to me, Dave.
I got two guys.
Who are your guys?
Conte.
Nope. Okay. Yeah, I know. I like that.
Conte coming over. I think that could be a very, very interesting move. Obviously, we saw what he did with Chelsea. Not so great in his second season, but I think there was some learning that he could do there and build on his mistakes and really make this Manchester United team at least play some attractive soccer. I mean, even in their wins, they're not looking that great.
Just say it, Dave. Quick like a Band-Aid. Just rip it off. Who's the other name?
The other name is Laurent Blanche.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Pochettino.
No, not
it's like,
Pochettino.
Don't do that to me, Dave.
Now, I'm guessing a lot of people probably don't remember this guy. He hasn't coached in a couple of years now. He was the old PSG manager. But
interesting.
He's played for Manchester United, and he won the French league with Bordeaux. So
interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, he's done. I mean, and he won a lot of trophies with PSG. This was when PSG was just starting to invest a bunch of money and starting to get good. But he's played for Manchester United, so he knows the club a little bit. So I thought that could be an interesting guy to at least look at. I'm not saying fire Josie right now, but I would start looking for some potential replacements.
That is probably fair. Something interesting that I did see about David De Gea, Dave, and I told you about this right before the podcast. Pretty interesting stat. For David De Gea, since the start of the World Cup, he has played 6 games. Mm-hmm. He has faced 14 shots on target, and he has conceded 10 goals. Which is incredible to me.
That's insane.
First of all, it surprised me. I guess first of all that he's only faced 14 shots on target. I guess that seems low. I don't know if that's that would be kind of average or what.
I'm guessing Spain. Kind of. I'm guessing he's faced less with Spain. They obviously have a lot of possession.
But still, to have conceded 10 of the last 14 shots on target that you've
and
faced.
Some of those, and a couple of those shots on target against Leicester City, he made some really good saves. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
It might be a harsh stat line. Maybe there's more he can do, but I honestly think the problem is more in that defense. And another thing I want to talk about is Pogba. I mean, he looked so good for France, and I guess it's looking like you're more right that maybe it was Conte really helping him out. And I guess that French defense is a lot better than Manchester United. So, I mean, he had more support on that France team.
Yeah, that is true. And it's just always hard to gauge what a player's true level is when they're surrounded by such amazing players. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so much easier to look excellent when you're surrounded by a team like that France team has. So it will be interesting to see what happens in the managerial situation with Man U. We had kind of predicted that he'd probably see out the season.
I thought for sure he'd see out the season. Now I'm wondering if he'll leave or
it'd be wild.
But here's the thing about that situation. If Manchester United fire him, they would be losing a lot of money. If Jose leaves, he would be losing a lot of money. So kind of interesting to see who will pull the trigger first. I know Zidane right now has been the big talk. Mm-hmm. I know I didn't mention him in my top two list. I don't know if he's quite the right fit. When he was at Real Madrid, when he took over for that team, Real Madrid was already good. They were already a team that was a dominant team. He just needed to keep them together. Here, there's a little bit more of a gap between Manchester City and Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
Another funny thing I just wanted to bring up about this game is the Brighton fans towards the end of the game started singing, "Your city is blue, your city is blue."
Oh boy!
I just thought that was so. I mean, just beat them while they're down. I mean, it's bad enough they get stick from the Man City fans, but for those of you that may be new to soccer. Or maybe new to the EPL, Manchester City's colors are blue. So basically what they're getting at there is, you guys are no longer the dominant team in Manchester. And I, as a Liverpool fan, if that started becoming a song when Liverpool were on the road, Everton's colors are blue. And if fans started seeing that would
yikes.
Piss me off so much.
That's not what you want to hear.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Last game of the weekend, Dave, Crystal Palace v. Liverpool. Liverpool puts it to Palace. You were a little nervous about this going in.
Yeah, I was. I mean, they don't play particularly well at Selhurst Park. Definitely a tough environment. The Palace fans are, I think, probably some of the best fans in the league out of the lower teams. And then also there's just so much former Liverpool on that team that can beat you. There's Benteke, Sakho. Martin Kelly's on Crystal Palace, I believe, still. He obviously didn't.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he didn't play. I'm not sure if he was on the bench or not. And then obviously, Roy Hodgson used to play and manage Liverpool. So a lot of Liverpool on the other side. This was definitely a scrappy game. Sakho had an unfortunate penalty that he gave away. And I say unfortunate. I do think it was a penalty. I think it's one you have to call. He clearly clipped Salah, but it was one where Sakho had plenty of support. Salah was not going anywhere. Probably wasn't going to get a good shot off. Didn't need to do it. So, and it was right before halftime, right before they could get in, regroup at 0-0, and all of a sudden it's 1-0, and that just totally changes the way the game's played. And then they get that red card, which was a little harsh. I mean, I thought he deserved the red card. You're stopping a goal-scoring opportunity.
Yeah, and he came in straight from the back too.
Yeah,
and it's hard not to.
I mean, he tried to avoid him. He tried to pull out of the challenge, but you still got him, and it was on a breakaway. So you gotta give the red there. I mean, that's just the way the game works. So it's two unfortunate calls, but I think the ref got him right. A little unfortunate for Palace, but Palace is looking better than what I thought they would at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So there's good news for Palace there. Liverpool, this was a game that they would have probably have drawn last year.
I think that's fair. I mean, away at Crystal Palace is always a tough game.
And just struggling to score that goal, struggling to come up with that creativity.
Mm.
And then, I mean, just whenever we had those 1-0 games, so many times the other team would score in like the last 10-5 minutes, and we drop points that way. So it was very encouraging to see Gomez and Van Dijk playing really well, really solid in the back. Allison, completely different than Karius. I mean, I'm always so nervous. Last year, I was just always so nervous watching these slim one-goal wins, and just thinking, oh, we're going to blow this. You know, in those last 10 minutes, there wasn't really a moment where I was like, man, we're going to blow this. I was pretty confident throughout.
I still think Palace's best chance was just right there at the beginning when they kind of opened the game. Townsend just had that ridiculous challenge at the beginning.
Oh, my gosh, that shot.
And then Zaha followed it up, and I thought that might be dangerous too. Ended up going wide. But, yeah, that looked dangerous, but from there on out, wasn't particularly worried, really, for Liverpool. Now, I wanted to ask you this, Dave. What do you think the chances are that Mane will outscore Salah this season?
Hey, I mean, it's well, I guess first of all, I think Salah, once he gets into midseason form, he puts away that chance where he tried to chip it over Hennessy. Beautiful ball from Naby Keita. I think I got to give Naby Keita some credit. I thought he had a good game. But I think it's a little too early to start talking about that. But I think it was great that Mane is getting goals.
Definitely
he's
see.
He's making up the slack. But I think Salah will pick it up. It's a tough question. I'm going to say Salah finishes higher right now, but I would not be surprised if Mane does finish higher.
It's nice to have two wingers that have that sort of threat to
right,
him.
Right.
All right, Dave, moving on, shifting gears a little bit. You had some young American updates you wanted to throw towards us.
Yeah.
A few players abroad, so let's hear it.
Yeah, a couple of guys. We've got Novakovic for Fortuna Sittard. I know we talked about
our favorite Eredivisie team.
We talked about them a couple
always
of,
and forever.
Yeah, we got to be why is that team here?
Oh boy, do we bring this up
now? I don't know, maybe
so
not.
So guys, if you have the chance, take a little trip over to Google and search Fortuna Sittard badge. This is a newcomer to the Eredivisie. They're in the second division last season. They made it into the Eredivisie this season. And they've got one of the most interesting /
weird
explicit
badges
I've ever seen. Moderately inappropriate.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a woman who has one of her breasts hanging out.
Yeah.
And it's extremely graphic. There are versions of it that are sort of
more
cartoony and
more
less
cartoony.
Detailed.
You can't
are extremely detailed.
Yeah, so
the newer versions actually are a lot more detailed. It's kind of like the first time you like take a close look at the Roma badge and you go, oh, okay, that's a wolf with humans sucking from its teats.
Yeah.
Interesting decision, Roma. But yeah, also the Fortuna Sittard badge is a very interesting one. It's worth a Google.
Yeah,
so
I don't
give
get
it a Google.
These weird badges. Who comes up with these things? I mean, the Roma one I think is just very strange where you got some babies just drinking this wolf's milk. I mean, it's just... It's crazy stuff, but Novakovic is who we're talking about, and last week we mentioned he got his first start. This week he gets his first goal, and not only his first goal, his goal is pretty good. He's in the box. He has to create some space. He Has some strength to fight off one defender and has the speed to get in front of another one, and just has once he gets past those two defenders, has a wide open shot in the box. Really an area where he should be scoring, and puts it away. Unfortunately, they were playing PSV, obviously one of the more tougher teams.
Did they win last year or no?
PSV Ajax? Did. They won that. Yeah, so they were playing against the defending championships in the Dutch league, and they lost on a stoppage time goal. So unfortunately, they were not able to get the win, but it was good to see him get his goal. Another guy who scored in that game was Chucky Lozano, obviously the star Mexican player. So we had a good CONCACAF showing in that game. The other guy I want to talk about is Anthony Robinson for Wigan,
formerly of Everton.
Yeah,
he's still with Everton.
He's on loan. He played for Bolton last season in the Championship. He's now playing with Wigan in the Championship, and he's played now in three games and has kind of had a mixed bag of results, I guess. He's looked really dangerous on the wing. I can't remember if he's a left back or a right back. I believe he plays on the left, and the balls that he sends in the box just look absolutely dangerous. I mean, he's sent in a couple of balls from the wing. A couple of plays have come from his side where they've been able to score from. So that's good news for him. The bad news for him is he's been the cause of a couple of goals in the game against Aston Villa. They had a stoppage time goal that was for the win. Ended up being his man that ended up scoring, so that was a little unfortunate. And then this game this past weekend against Nottingham Forest, he just gets, I believe this was also a stoppage time goal, he just gets absolutely toasted on the wing. Player is able to get in and behind him, come up on baseline, send it through the middle, and somehow they got a penalty. The penalty wasn't on Robinson, but it was basically the guy who crossed the ball was able to get free because of Robinson's poor defending. So kind of a mixed bag. I mean, he's still a young kid. There's definitely some promise there. Just needs to fix up some defensive mistakes. And obviously, as a defender, he's going to make mistakes. There's going to be times where he doesn't look great. I mean, it happens to the best defender. So hard to get beat up on him too much. But overall, great starts. And then another great start for Tim Weah with his season. I know we talked about him last week getting his first goal. This week, he got his first start with PSG, which is very good to see. That shows the manager trusts him. Once again, it was kind of a weaker lineup for PSG. A lot of young guys starting. Mbappe started on the bench. Tim Weah didn't really get any goals. They didn't score any goals when he was in. They were actually down 1-0 at halftime, and Tim Weah then got subbed out, and Mbappe came in, and then PSG scored 3 goals. So that might not be the best way to look at it.
Not the best sign.
But it's good that he's starting. He's only an 18-year-old kid, and he's starting at PSG. So I just got to say, keep it up, Tim Weah. Get those starts in. Maybe come off the bench, get some goals. We'll see what keeps happening for him.
It is very interesting. We will see what happens there. Hopefully some call-ups again in the future for some of those players, but we will see.
Right.
Dave, we want to do an EPL Team of the Week. We decided to start doing this. I think we're going to start doing this kind of just based on our recaps of each game, but we've both created a Team of the Week. And if it's cool with you, Dave, I'll just go ahead and go first.
Go for it.
I'm going to run through it. This is my Brendan Ender's team of the week for the EPL this past week. So here we go. I'm going to start in the back. Now, I got a couple interesting ones and a couple obvious ones, Dave, and hopefully we can have a little conversation about it. But in goal, probably one of my more, maybe slightly more controversial picks, I'm going to Fabianski, Dave.
Really?
Now, I think the obvious choice would have been the Cardiff City keeper.
And that's who I went with.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. I think he was just the obvious choice, and I wanted to do something a little different. Fabianski had like 3 really, really good saves. Now, West Ham lost, so it seems weird to pick him. But I think he was the one kind of keep West Ham. that is not a thing, Westingham. He was the one keeping West Ham even remotely in this game. So Fabianski, I'm going with him. Going with Marcos Alonso, left back.
Yep.
Great performance for him. Going Shane Duffy, left center back, great goal over the weekend, was important for Brighton's win over Man U. I am going with Steve Cook, right center back. Another important goal for Bournemouth and a decent defensive performance from him as well, I would say. I'm going Kieran Trippier.
We got three out of four on our back four.
Oh, boy, here we go. Kieran Trippier right back. My midfield three, and I'm playing a 4-3-3 here this weekend, Dave.
I am too.
we got a midfield three of maybe an obvious choice, David Silva. Phenomenal game for him. Scored a free kick that was excellent. Actually, extremely excellent. That free kick was just awesome.
Yeah, it was money.
a little more out in the weeds. I'm going to go with Will Hughes, in center of midfield.
Interesting.
Now, when I was watching that Watford game, I'm like, man, one of these central midfielders getting into my team of the week. They just look so good as a unit. So it was tough for me to pick one. Honestly, there's probably a couple I could have seen realistically putting in there. the one defensive midfielder had the assist too on the Troy Deeney goal, I think. Mm-hmm. But I went with Will Hughes rather. Great goal from him. I think all around a great performance from him as well. And my other midfielder, I went James Maddison. yes, had a deflection on his goal, but I think looked great. I think is one of the biggest bright spots on this Leicester City team right now. Big on James Maddison, so I went with him. On the right wing, I'm going Theo Walcott. Excellent performance for him. Got a goal and an assist. Hard to not give him the nod. Sergio Aguero, probably the most obvious choice in this side. Hat trick over the weekend. And on the other wing, I'm going Anthony Knockhart, Brighton.
Oh, interesting.
So I had to give someone else from Brighton, someone in the attack from Brighton, a nod. And I think Anthony Knockhart's the guy. Pascal Gross could have made it in there too, but he probably would have made it into the midfield three, not the front three. So
yeah, you know, I mean,
that's my team.
It's interesting. I didn't have any Brighton players in there. I'm kind of now thinking that might have been a mistake. But yeah, I mean, the big differences obviously are Etheridge. I was actually debating between him and Alisson. I thought Alisson was very good. The only thing is, Alisson didn't really have any really big save that Etheridge had, so I went with him. Instead of Duffy, I do like the Duffy pick. I actually went with Virgil van Dijk, maybe a little bit of a homer there.
A little bit, but I went with Kieran Trippier, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Trippier was definitely the guy on the right side for sure. Our midfield was a little different. I went Silva just like you. I went Kante. I thought Kante.
Fair enough.
I thought Kante played really well. He's playing a little bit new role this season, a little bit
he's
further
like
up.
Attacking and in the box
so
all
it's,
the time.
And I think he's doing well at it. So I included him in my team. Another player, this one's kind of, I was kind of on the fringe. There was a couple players I could have thrown for this last spot. I'm having Mendy play a little higher up, on the pitch on that left side.
Okay, fair enough.
I thought he was, I mean, he was involved in a couple of the goals. I thought he played very well. So yeah, I'm including him. I thought, he was a huge part in that Manchester City win. Up top, I have, just like you, I have Walcott and Aguero. And then my big change is, I've got, Troy Deeney.
Fair enough. And I actually had Troy, this is funny, 'cause I had Troy Deeney, on my other wing and then kind of had to change at the last minute. I'm like, I got to put another Brighton player in there. So
yeah.
Fair enough.
Make
Troy
up
Deeney.
For my lack of Brighton players.
Troy Deeney's a good pick, Dave. I love it. One other game we're going to play, and I'm actually excited to play this. This is going to be a fun game. We got suggested this. So Steve Basinski, shout out to you. This one's for you. I got suggested this. One of my buddies who's been listening to the podcast, big Chelsea fan. And other than that, I completely trust his judgment. So we're going to go with this game. that he suggested. It's a survivor pool. So this isn't anything groundbreaking, Dave, but we are changing the rules a little bit to what we were suggested. Now, how this works is each one of us, when we sit down to do the podcast, we're going to pick a team that we think is going to win their game this weekend. Once we pick that team, we cannot pick that team again for following weeks. And now traditionally how this game would be played is it's like sudden death. If your team draws or loses and does not get the win that weekend, you're out and the other players continue. But since it's just the two of us, I decided maybe we'll change it up a little bit. We're playing a slight variation of a survivor pool. It's called One Up. Now, here are the rules with this. In One Up version of survivor pool, it sounds like we're on a reality TV show or something. but basically how this works is we're both start with four lives. Okay, this is just like a video game. So we get four lives. If the team we choose to win wins, we actually gain a point. Okay, if the team we choose draws, we lose 1 point. If the team we choose loses, we lose three lives. So it adds a little bit of interestingness to it. So let's say we pick a team this weekend, Dave, and we get a draw, puts us at 5 points, but the next weekend we could be out 3 points, and then we're in the danger zone.
Wait, you said draw. If we get a draw, we would lose points, right?
Draw, we lose points. Yeah, you're right.
We'd be at five.
Right, correct. That's what I meant to say. Sorry. So if we win this weekend, we're up to five, but like say we lose the next weekend, we're in the danger zone. We need a result. Yeah. So with that being said, Dave, looking at the fixtures for this coming weekend, who is your very first pick? Now, keep in mind, you cannot choose this team again.
Right. And I think this is a good week to go with Arsenal. That's going to be my
very interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be my team. And like I talked about earlier, they're playing West Ham this weekend. I just feel like they need points to stay in this top four battle. they're not nearly good enough to compete for the league. Like a big six team like them should be doing, but they have to get this win. I don't think this win will mean as much for West Ham. I actually see West Ham really packing it in and just trying to get a point out of this one. But Arsenal at home, that's gonna be my lock. And I hate to use a big team like Arsenal so early, but I gotta do it. All these other games just look way too tough.
That's fair enough, Dave. And as I'm not gonna lie to you, as I was looking over this too, this is a scary week to jump into this game because there are a lot of unknowns. There are some teams that you would like to give the nod, but they're playing away.
And when you say unknowns, we're talking about unknowns of the lower teams. I mean, obviously,
right? Because we don't want to use big six teams early on. Yeah, that's kind of the idea.
Yeah,
right?
You don't want to do that. So, but of course, you know, I pick a big six team, and you know what's going to happen? That big six team is going to get absolutely pummeled,
get thrashed. Yeah, that is exactly how my luck works. So we will see what happens. Dave, interestingly, I have also gone with Arsenal. So maybe not so interesting.
Yeah.
But I did write this down ahead of time, to be fair.
I had already written
mine down. I just couldn't see going with another team. Everything else was too much of a risk or choosing a big team too early.
Yeah.
I think Arsenal's got the best chance at home this weekend. So in a gross sort of weird way, we're both Arsenal fans this weekend, Dave.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
And we're not putting any money on the table, but what we did decide is whoever loses this is buying our next round of beers for the show. So that's what's on the line, Dave. A couple cold ones.
What's on the line.
All right, Dave, what do you say? Let's wrap this thing up.
Well, I guess, first of all, I do want to mention just one little interesting thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
At the Real Madrid game, you know, there were some VIPs there.
Who was at the Real Madrid game?
The Michigan basketball team.
I love that so much. I can't even tell you how much I love that.
Yeah, I mean, they posted on Facebook. They sat way in the nosebleed seats. I guess they got a tour of the stadium the next day. I mean, it was just really cool that someone from our state. I mean, I'm a huge Michigan basketball, huge Michigan football fan.
Yep.
So I think it's really cool to see a team out there watching some soccer.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. And I'm actually, I feel like this is a not super popular opinion, but I actually really like the kind of cross-pollination that's happening across sports like that. Like, you know, like EPL players getting really into watching NFL and NFL, you know, teams even having relationships with, you know, EPL teams and playing games in England and stuff like that. I love seeing that happen. So I'm a fan. Come on, you Spurs. Come on, you Reds.
Go
blue.
I'm a little nervous about this weekend, though. We're playing Brighton now after that win. Should win that game, but, you know, Brighton's got some momentum.
I think you're going to thrash him, Dave. I don't think you have
I
anything
so.
To worry
just,
about.
Just rub the salt even more into Manchester United's wound.
All right, Dave. I love it. Let's wrap this thing up. Michigander FC Nation, until next time. Deuces.
We'll see you guys.